And we won't lose any time starting a bit late. We will still have the 55 minutes, I believe.
Okay.
So that will be good.
Good.
After reading your book, I think we probably need 1 hour and 55 minutes.
Yeah, there's enough information in there.
We're live, are we? Okay. I didn't hear it, no. Okay, Lou, welcome.
Hello, Mike.
We'll get there in a minute.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Lou Valentino, and I welcome him back. He did do a program with me earlier this year, and he has teachers from the seventh dimension who are Pleiadian, and he's written a book called Full Moon Messages from the Pleiadians. Lou is a practicing astrologer and visionary since 1990, having started his spiritual journey in 1978. And he is also a certified yoga practitioner and founder of 21st Century Yoga Program. But today we are going to concentrate on his new book. Welcome, Lou.
And hello out there, and thank you, Mike, for allowing me to do an interview on this very new. I just finished it about a week ago, so.
Wow. Okay. While we're just talking about your finishing the book, is it still currently planned to release it next month?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, just today it was put on my website store, so people can go to the website and order it right now.
All right. Okay. I've read all through the book, which you kindly sent me, and I've been very meticulous, and I've made 5 pages of notes about various things.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for...
That's cheered you up, I know. Obviously, we won't have time to cover it all, but as I read it or you talk about it, hopefully I will be able to join in. It will jog our memories. So I think I'll be with you all the way. Now, I'd like to start with something that you put in your book in capital letters, because it obviously made a very big impression on you, and I think it's a wonderful statement, which you might start the program on, saying that everything on earth is yours for free.
Yes, basically what the Pleiadians are, this is a communication that I'm having with them, are, you know, talking about the idea that man has wanted to control everything on this planet for since the fall of Atlantis about 11,500 years ago. So there's a value that's put on goods and services in a capitalistic world, and what they're saying is that everything has actually been given to us for free, that we're the ones that are getting in our own way in regard to feeling that we have to be paying a certain price for electricity, goods and services, whether it be food, you know, clothing, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So if we lived life the right way, and the emphasis here, I'm sure, is with a spiritual approach, we could, in fact, have already been in that mode already where we worked for each other and the produce was shared freely amongst us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, it really is a social hypnosis that we've been under for a while where people think it's completely impossible to think of bartering, because, you know, when, you know, a lot of your listeners right now are probably wondering, well, okay, that sounds fine and dandy, but how can we possibly, you know, get from where we are right now to that kind of a life? And so what they're saying is the main change for this new model of life, which is what the book is supporting, it's supporting a new model of life, is going to start when there's a massive UFO sighting, to the point where it's worldwide and governments can't ignore it. And then there's an open dialogue between the Pleiadians and other different races such as the Syrians and also the Arcturians as to the new model that we can present to that they can present to humanity that would benefit them and benefit us quite a lot in regards to looking into working with small family groups. That's the main thing that they're talking about. No more than 100 people on a family group bartering service for service, which is a lot of incentive groups to try to do this, like Finhorn Garden and various spiritual incentive groups have been trying as a nonprofit organization to live off the land, live off the grid system and this sort of thing. And so what they're saying is they're going to bring more advanced technologies with them to help us adapt to this next cycle in life. It's a 26,000-year cycle. So we're ending a 26,000-year cycle that started really with the fall of Lemuria. Atlantis destroyed Lemuria about 26,000 years ago.
Right. Now, people obviously will be interested in the likely timing of these events. Now, I'm guessing that the organization of groups of 100 people is somewhat in the future. Have you got an idea of when that might start to commence?
Well, they're saying the late spring of 2011 is when they would like to start a massive UFO appearance. They did say that it could take up to 2017, but more than likely they'd like to do it around the end of the spring of 2011 or the summer of 2011, and then that would carry over, pretty much a lot of the dust will be settled by the end of 2012, which is the whole Mayan calendar, prophecy that the world is, life is going to end as we know it and then start a new beginning.
Yes. So 2012 is still a key point in our upliftment.
Yes, it is.
It really gets into its stride, I guess, after 2012, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you've divided your account in the book into two stages. You've got the purification stage from 1998 to 2012, and the preparation stage from 2012 to 2026. So taking it in chronological order, talk a little bit about where we go from now up to 2012.
Basically, the purification phase was not the most comfortable phase because there had to be a lot of adjustments, within the consciousness of humanity. So people have gone through a lot of trials and errors, I think, in the purification phase. We've also had the cleansing of Bosnia just before the purification phase started, and we've also had the Iraq war and the Middle East problems, these sorts of things. When we go into the preparation phase, the reason why it's called preparation is because people are trying to adjust to a new model of life. In other words, it's a re-education about how we look at the different areas of life, such as economics, healthcare, how we relate in relationships and romance. And so these different areas are explained in the 70 pages of information that I channeled recently about what can we look forward to? What is it that what kind of a life will we live, and how will it change?
Indeed. I think that's everybody's interest, is what is going to happen tomorrow or the year after that. And particularly now when there's a degree of chaos everywhere, isn't there?
Well, what's going to happen tomorrow is what's been happening for the last 11,500 years since the fall of Atlantis. I mean, every day is the same thing. It's the same news. What child is being kidnapped, who's gotten to a car accident, what country is causing problems and saying they're going to, attack another country. These things are like a daily, there really isn't anything much new, even after all the millions and millions of dollars that are spent on political campaigns. There really isn't that much new. I mean, even Barack Obama can't even say holistic health care in his health care speech. I mean, I'm talking, the book really is very much into major, major changes. It's a radical viewpoint, totally radical, compared to what we've been living for quite some time. You know, that's what we can expect, I think, till the end of the spring of 2011, and the economy will continue to be sluggish, you know, and not really moving anywhere, I think, until then.
What do you think might be the first major change up to 2012 that will really kickstart everything else?
Well, I think it's... Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, do you see maybe one particular event?
I think that the international bankers may try to forgive some of the debt that people have in credit cards and mortgages and this sort of thing. That would be the last straw of the international banking system, that they revive the, you know, like they really try to excite people about, you know, the whole financial system again, you know, thinking that, oh, wow, we've got, you know, we just got, you know, forgiven, you know, at least 50% of our debt on credit cards and mortgages and car loans and school loans and these sort of things. And people are going to feel revived and happy. And then I think not too far from that, maybe 6 months to a year after that, should be around the spring. So we're looking, really looking at the spring of 2010 is maybe that might happen. And then that's the last straw for them. And they're not going to be able to continue on even with that forgiveness of debt. It's still going to be a problem for them to continue with the present economic system that we have right now.
Right. Now, what they're proposing and telling us should happen, presumably this is a divine decree that they are operating as a plan for humans. So it's not really too much a matter of choice. I mean, and who would want to turn it down anyway, because it's taken a great leap forward. Do you see it that way? There's a plan that is given to us. We can't really reject it.
Well, it's funny because in the book I talk about not everybody's going to make it. I mean, it is going to be 40% of the people aren't ready for this kind of a thing. 60% are. So, and then out of the 40%, there will be some people that can be rehabilitated on some of the spaceships and brought back. A lot of UFO people feel that there's going to be an evacuation, and they said that that plan has been canceled. The evacuation that was supposed to happen got canceled back in 1989 because there's too many positive beings on the planet now. The vibration is much better than what they had thought it was going to be. Yeah. So there's been a lot of cleansing and a lot of openness amongst people to the point where there's been a lot of healing done. And so basically the new model is an open dialogue to start off with between us and extraterrestrial races.
Right. I think the point should be made for anybody who hasn't delved into it that we're talking about space beings that are directly connected with us and our evolution. I like the way they call themselves our family. What would you say
right.
to that? You agree with that, presumably?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, they definitely do not feel as disconnected or separated from us as we to them. There certainly isn't no fear between us and them. So I think that the fear is mostly coming from our own state of consciousness on the planet and some of the... You know, leaders of these different, like the international banking system and the AMA, the FDA, and the IRS, and all these big government type of agencies have instilled a lot of fear in people that there could be something outside of us that we should fear. That, you know, that like the, you know, different extraterrestrial races actually are to be feared because they want to take over the world. When the fact is, you know, the Palladians are at least 3,000 years more advanced than we are. So, you know, they're looking at our planet as, in other words, with the healthcare system, for instance, you know, I mean, we're killing enough people already with the American Medical Association. They don't need any outside races help to be more abusive to what we're doing here on this planet.
True.
You know?
It's like crying wolf, isn't it, when the wolf's really here.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and it's
making people brainwashed and believing that, you know, I mean, the Zeta Reticuli, which was the abduction cases that scared the living daylights out of everybody, but that was like one rare group out of all of them that is less than positive, and that project's been shut down a while back. So we're talking about benevolent, highly spiritual beings that want to show us what their culture lives like as a new model for our culture of Earthlings, you know, here on planet Earth.
I was a little surprised, Lou, that the percentage of people that should be ready by 2012 is as high as 60%, because to be quite honest, someone sent me an email recently and said, how many people do you think will go through? And I said sort of something to the effect, well, about if it's any more than 9%, because just getting a reaction around me from the people I meet and the people outside, I'm very surprised that 6 out of 10 could be deemed ready.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be people who are kind of almost ready. They're like on the edge, and they still will have to go through an adjustment out of the 60%. The other 40%, and maybe, you know, 20% will come back because they will be rehabilitated, and the advanced technology on the ships can normalize some of the DNA and RNA coding, and what they call in yoga systems samskara, you know, the past karma, the genetic screw-up that happened at the end of Atlantis. And so, you know, there will be, but there will be a lot, you know, I think compared to what most people are saying are the people that are going to make it, you know.
Yeah.
At least that's what they're saying to me, yeah.
What you're really saying is then that in this short period of time up to 2012, with their technology and other things, they will awaken a lot more people that today probably don't consider themselves ready.
Right. Yeah, there definitely is more of an awakening than people realize. And even though some people appear to be not awake, or they're just, you know, can't handle any new ideas and can't handle any new routines in life, because, you know, with the e-book, there's a lot of changes that are going to happen. You know, take rotating real estate, for instance, is what they're talking about. You know, every several years, you're going to be moving your family into a different home. And so if you tell somebody on the street that, like my brother, for instance, he's a typical conservative Capricorn, in the way he thinks, you know, he's a good man, he works hard, and, you know, he provides for his family, he's a very good person. But when I told him about that, he said, oh, well, if they come on my property, I'll have a gun and I'll shoot at them. They aren't going to take over my home. You know.
You
know? And so this is the general mentality. What the Pleiadian star system, what we are saying, because I am from the Pleiadian star system, what we're saying is the energy is stuck here. And any time we try to claim ownership on anything, knowledge or a home or a piece of property or food or electricity, that we are actually getting stuck in a very sliver of awareness that we have. And by doing that, we're only perpetrating, and we continue to feed onto a further life sentence of nothing is possible, you know, instead of everything is possible. So the freeing up the spirit and being open to the idea that anything is possible is about extinct for most, like what you were just saying. 90% of the people don't think anything is possible. They're so brainwashed with you know, all this work hours and stress, and then you got the kids, and you're trying to bring a family up, and then you got divorces happening, and, you know, and then you got, you know, war, and you have, you know, it just goes on and on and on with, you know, healthcare system. It says they don't have any cure for cancer, and they're lying, you know. And so, you know, this is going to be a time when people will, they will be forced a little bit, because only because the tribunal councils, which oversee, you know, the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds, they're saying that the Time Lords, the way it's working right now, is they don't have a whole lot more latitude to allow everybody to continue to, use their own free will to make this kind of an adjustment.
Right.
You know, it's almost like they've tried over the last 40 years to find different times where they could communicate with us or where there could be an opening, and it just hasn't worked out as well as they would have liked it to. So now is the time, it's almost like a last ditch within the next 7 years to have a full disclosure of other races communicating with us, because there is no way that the present leaders on this planet in politics, religion, science, and education are going to be able to convince people that, because they're just so brainwashed that life is supposed to be a struggle, that there's no way they can convince them that there's more to life than just struggling and
yes.
day-to-day living, you know, survival.
Now, you mentioned about your brother and his home, but of course in the book, the Pleiadians have said that no one will own a home, but presumably that isn't a frightening statement. That means because accommodation will be free.
That's correct, yeah. So now you won't have real estate taxes, you won't have a federal government, you won't have, you know, any kind of person looking over you and expecting that, you know, if you don't pay your mortgage, you get thrown out. Because the scary part is, for a lot of people out there who've lost their homes in the last couple of years, that, you know, you could be a very responsible person who's willing to use your abilities to, you know, further your life and support your family and find security. And the minute you lose your job and you can't pay your mortgage anymore, you may find yourself completely in a, you know, in an apartment somewhere or at the worst, homeless, if you don't have real estate investments in your own family unit. So we need to create these small family units, like no more than 100 people, that take care of each other and avoid a lot of the pitfalls that are going on with health insurance, for instance. You know, people, now the big issue in politics is, you know, trying to get free health insurance. We shouldn't be having to be codependent on any other institution or anybody else for our survival, is what the main message of the Pleiadians are trying to say. We find all of our answers in our own backyard. We don't go giving all of our energy away to a banking system that doesn't trust us in the first place. I mean, when you walk into a bank, there's all these security cameras and everything else of your money that you've already earned and deposited, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Now, you talk pre-2012, and I say you because you're representing the Pleiadians, of some likely attempt of the governments and their military to try and destroy the spacecraft when they come into our atmosphere. But you have indicated that after some period of time, any fear that is created by that will result in an open dialogue with planet Earth and other races. And this is what I'm coming to. It has said they will appear through the media internationally and talk with everyone. So does that mean, if you know, that they have a different type of way of communicating with people?
They do have advanced technologies that are much more, you know, let's say another 100 years it would take us to get to video conferencing techniques and that sort of thing. They can appear on television all around the world internationally at any given time that they want. And they can also have different languages that relate to the different cultures so that they can talk with the different cultures and different people of different cultures. So they are very advanced they have different beings that are responsible for international language and also advanced technological experts who can create a video conferencing situation very quickly and tap into all of the different televisions and screens around the planet and just appear, you know, for an open dialogue.
Right. Now, occasionally I have someone who emails me and they are actually complaining in a manner of speaking that the space people have come to save them. They say, oh, we don't need anybody to save us, as though there's something wrong with it. But They have actually said that they are, or they have no desire to save humanity in that sense, and they are offering an opportunity for Earthlings to set up a model of life to rediscover themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they really, really want to make it clear that there's no saving here that's going on. There really is just an open dialogue to re-educate humanity, its new model of life that they would take into their own hands and flow accordingly, according to the laws of evolution. There's no, you know, we're coming to save you from some great disaster. You know, that I think that's really where the saving thing has come from. They look, you know, fundamentalist Christians and everybody else, that the Third World War would come and then there would be a, you know, a Christ would come and save everybody and lift some of the people up and everybody else was going to die and this sort of thing.
Yes.
That isn't, as you know, because you've read the transcript, I mean, the 70 pages of information, there's nowhere in there that indicates that there's going to be, you know, that kind of a thing going on. The only thing that they mention that might be less positive is that North Korea, Russia, China, and some of those in that area, may their armies may form and try to take over the Middle East area and the oil fields and that sort of thing, and that's when they would, you know, have to intercept maybe with an earthquake or something and swallow the armies up. They will not allow World War III to happen. They don't want to see that kind of a thing going on. So, and in terms of saving, you know, they just feel that we need to take care of ourselves and work on self-empowerment.
Yes.
Work on our own self-development. But they don't want all of these control factors surrounding us and violence and everything and fear that has happened for quite some time here, especially with women. You know, they really feel that we are so out of balance when a female energy is way out of balance on this planet.
Yes.
And so they're very much into the whole goddess, you know, the culture is very much into the whole soft feminine goddess energy, because that's what keeps the violence down. And when a culture gets too male-oriented, it creates wars and there's a lot more violence, you know, domestic violence and everything else that goes on.
Yes. So what they're really referring to, I believe, when they say they have no desire to save humanity, and that's not an unkind comment at all, is that they are really honoring our free will.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the honor of free will.
If we want to do things differently, they wouldn't stand in our way. But I should think the majority of the people would greet them with open hands when they understand exactly what they are proposing to help us with.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in my book I do explain the different phases of that. In other words, there's a mass UFO sightings everywhere around the whole world, and everyone and the governments are concerned about it. And then the governments start firing missiles at them. And then the minute the missiles get in near any vicinity of the ships, they just disappear. All right, so then the missiles miss everything, and they keep trying to do this for about a week. And then finally they're just so frustrated that they just stop doing it, because they're running out of missiles and running out of, they don't have enough time and money to invest in you know, creating new weapons. And that's when the open dialogue kind of starts. And then there is the scientific community that comes forward in the next step to educate the masses on some of the information that they've already gathered. In other words, the Roswell incidents, there's information there on some of the beings that they've captured and the autopsies and what they look like. So we're going to get a good education about what they look like already before we even have a direct, you know, connection of them landing. That way you've settled some of the dust and you've got people stabilized psychologically and emotionally and prepared for more of a physical contact. So there are different stages of this. It's not like it just all of a sudden it just happens and, you know, everybody's, you know, connecting right away, and because it would just be too much for everybody's awareness. There is going to be an unsettledness for a good week or two, and then it'll settle down, and there'll be open dialogue between leaders of politics and science and religion. And also with the video conferencing with the Pleiadians, the Syrians, and the Arcturians, and there may be some other groups, but I'm not picking up on the other groups. I just pick up on those three as the main group, three main groups.
Right. Yes. Right. Can we move on then to some of the happenings that are going to occur in the preparation stage, which is 2012 to 2026. Point I'd like to start with, you're saying that a lot of karma will be dissolved and it can be balanced out in months. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, they do have advanced technologies and sound therapies. The sounds that they use are similar to some of the mantras from India. But they have the ability to filter them through some kind of, not a machine, but it's some kind of a process of technology, which allows the sounds to be more potent and more, they spin in a certain matrix that they're claiming scientists haven't even been able to get to yet here. The neutrons and the protons around the atom spin at a much higher rate, the way that they can do it. And of course that helps dissipate. They have specific sounds to help specific health issues in different organs. And, you know, if someone's liver is really bad, they have a certain sound that helps heal the liver. And, and they also have the ability to reconstruct the RNA and DNA coding, which was messed up at the end of Atlantis when we became more of a reptilian type of a, you know, person, very physical. But the reptilian era, or the reptiles, or the dinosaur era that preceded Atlantis and Lemuria, we still have a part of that in us. Most Earthlings do. The volunteers don't have as much of that as the average Earthling has. You know, I talked about the 144,000 volunteers, and they do have some crystal implants in them. But there's not that many here. There's only about half of the 144,000, so you're looking at maybe 75,000 souls here are volunteers who decided to come back and try to help a little bit, you know, in terms of uplifting the consciousness through education and other areas.
Hmm. Well, so, you mentioned education there. Perhaps you can enlarge upon that, because I love the idea, as in your book, which said that you can have free education at the press of a button.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, I mean, when you have advanced video conferencing, you know, you can basically have a situation where you can take a certain course, as you could now on the internet, but you'd be able to press of a button, you'd be able to study with a professor in any prestigious university, you know, depending on what level you're at, you know, in terms of your intellectual refinement, but you will be able to become educated in any area, any expertise, any grade level, by just a press of the button on the remote and tuning into a specific time that course is being taught. There isn't going to be a kind of a competitive, see, they're really against us competing with one another. They call it cooperation. Their culture does not have any competitiveness in it. In other words, there's no duality. We stress duality on this planet. We have to have two-party system in the government so they can all yell at each other and argue over who's right and who's wrong. You know, and this is the way it goes even in relationships. But there's this competitive spirit that they feel is really harming our planet, and we have to learn how to cooperate with knowledge rather than use knowledge to manipulate and win over somebody else, or you know, compete with the world. So a non-competitive spirit is a part of the new education and the new economy.
And you also mentioned, talking about obtaining knowledge, that they can even approach it with beings from other dimensions, if necessary.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Yeah, we will be able to communicate also with other other races, but also eventually we'll be able to travel on vacations to other different cultures and observe them so that we can learn from other cultures intergalactically. The Palladian culture right now is the most protective of planet Earth out of all of them. There's 50,000 different intergalactic cultures, and they have subdivisional cultures off of that, so it gets very intense. I mean, it's not like there's one, or there's just, you know, a handful of them. And so, you know, like Jesus Christ said, there are many mansions in my Father's home, you know, this sort of thing, or whatever. I forget how the exact wording went, but there are a lot of experiences that we will have also off the planet, for further education and how to develop ourselves.
You also mentioned that students will spend some, or can spend some time away on the spaceships themselves.
Yes, yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
That all sounds very wonderful, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, it's the byproduct. I mean, the most probably important element of the book is the small family group and the idea that we're bringing love back into the family unit. That will be the foundation. The children was where the gold is in the Palladian system. They say, we can't take care of the children and we can't put as much time into our children as we do into Wall Street. Then that's where our failure is. That's where the integrity of the soul gets diminished. And, so the children are going to become a main focus for a family life. Is going to become a main focus in this new you know way of living that they're trying to present to us.
Yes. Now, still on education, tell us a bit about the proposal to educate 7 to 18 year olds about love.
You like that part, huh? You know, when I was channeling that, I was like, oh, boy, because sometimes I talk to them and go, you know, I don't know if this is going to fly with people on this planet. I mean, you're talking about earthlings, you know, and then they would crack up and say, and then they would always say, share or be square. They were always, you know, so I'm like, all right. But basically, when we talked about the soulmates and the soul twins, you know, and define that, which you can get into the whole hour program and defining soulmates and soul twins. But the education of the youth to learn how to make love in a more holistic fashion. Now, the way that they make love in the Palladian system is they do it more, they call it a neurophysiological climax. So the billions of neurons in the brain get very stimulated and enlivened. So you'll see them, when they show me a picture of them making love, the foreheads are more touching, just about touching one another, and they're exchanging this energy between each other, and there is what they call a fountain of ecstasy. It's a tingling sensation and a humming, and almost the neurons are rubbing up against one another and creating a very expanded, transcendental kind of experience, and very blissful, they said, in the heart area and in the neurophysiology, and that was going to be the new model for the youth. As they start growing up and start learning, and they did say that was going to happen right away because they got to teach adults how to do this first so that adults can teach the younger generation. So they said within 7 years after the preparation starts, then the adults can teach the younger people. And they're talking about, using sound also in some kind of crystal substances to hold that aren't even available on our planet that help magnify this neurophysiological climax along with the opening of the heart. There is a soma, it is called soma in the ninth mandala in the Rig Veda. They showed me these plants, a lot of greenhouses on some of the ships with plants, and they look like marijuana plants, you know. So I was like, what are these plants you're showing me? So they said, well, these are the soma plants. The soma there was a whole mandala, the ninth mandala in the Rig Veda, written on soma. And soma was like an elixir that they crushed out of especially the stem of the soma plant, to create higher states of consciousness, to actually stimulate the nervous system and the neurophysiology. So they said, once we get that, we'll be like taking a shot of that before you start your lovemaking, and it also helps with digestion big time. But that would also help the neurophysiology begin to stimulate it so that the neurons are rubbing up against one another and there's this starting to get this feeling, and then you're sharing that with somebody else. Now, the byproduct, by the way, of that new lovemaking techniques, which are subtle tantric yoga techniques, is that there's a lot less need to control and manipulate your partner and afterwards in society. So you don't feel as like you need to own someone like we do now. Even though the relationship, especially if there's children involved, will stay together, the family unit will always be the closest unit. But they show me that, you know, they make love with, different people all the time, but it's not the way we think. They're there to exchange this neurophysiological experience so that they can create more bliss and more joy. And on the basis of creating so much more joy and bliss, they want the people that they love to have this experience. It's almost the opposite of what we have here. Here, if we get too attached, we get too possessive, we get too jealous, and then, you know, we're not supposed to share with other people. There, it's the complete opposite experience. All of a sudden, they have this wide open bliss that they cannot even describe. And so because they're so happy all the time in joy and bliss, they don't even think about owning other people. So this is the difference between going from a mostly a genital, you know, experience of sexuality to more in the, you would say the new genital area is going to be the neurophysiology of the brain.
Right. And so you, one can take it from that if you're 80 years old, that's no problem.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
I can still rub forwards with someone.
Yeah, yes. The note doesn't matter what age.
No,
you know,
no.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
No, you mentioned about advanced crystal stones that will be brought to the earth. I recall they were also mentioned in connection with telephones being replaced by media screens, and there would be mostly telepathic communication.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they do show also these crystal substances are used in there's three Palladians that come to me, one in front of me and then one off to each side, but the ones in the side, I can't really see them that well. They're kind of just sitting there as a holding energy or something, but the one in front of me, I've noticed like a triangle kind of shape, upside down triangle on the forehead, so that the point of the triangle is pointing towards the third eye. There's some kind of metallic, and I'm not sure if it's completely visible unless it's, you know, somewhere placed in underneath the skin. I'm not quite clear on it, but they're saying that there's crystal substances and that help create a certain hum or sound, which keeps the third eye open all the time. So you're able to actually telepathically communicate even long distance with people. And they even talked about, you know, when they're making love to one person, they could be actually simultaneously making love to a number of people in a different culture. So there's like a holographic experience of lovemaking and communication.
Yes. Obviously, one can imagine as time goes on, the sort of problems that we have to deal with now regarding pollution, etc., will be totally taken care of. And I was thinking what they said about a pollution eliminator and also dissolving human waste and garbage, and they have these very subtle methods of doing it, which you might comment on.
Yeah, they talk about these new I'll give you two of them. One of them is through waste, you know, not having to deal with sewage systems anymore. They have some kind of device that you can put waste into, and they have to put it into, I mean, even going to the bathroom, you're putting, you know, just the waste is going into this technological thing, and then it basically transforms any solid matter into its original state of pure consciousness. So it's almost like it dissolves it in a way back to its original refined you know, aspect of matter, very, very subatomic levels. It just disappears, kind of. So we're not going to have garbage disposals anymore and that sort of thing, because they can just go into a certain apparatus similar to kind of a garbage disposal. But when it goes into the garbage disposal, there's nothing there anymore. There's no you know, broken up garbage or anything. And same with waste, you know, with going to the bathroom and, you know, eliminating that problem. The other thing that I was going to mention was, the second one, was a spaceship would go over a different area and within 100 miles on either side, in other words, 100 square miles, they're able to beam down on a polluted area and able to re-sanitize it in a certain way and eliminate any kind of bacteria or viruses or anything that's collected. These are very poor areas I'm talking about that just don't have any, they've never had any, you know, kind of sanitary means or hygienic means of cleaning up their area because of the poverty there and all that. So that was another thing that they were showing me that they could do, and you know, 100-mile radius wide and, you know, up and down and wide at a time. They just keep moving. They stay there for a few minutes, and then they move for another 100 miles, and then they move another. So that would be very helpful for cleaning up some of the pollution on the planet, even in the water, you know, and in the oceans.
Yes, it means they could tackle a problem that we probably couldn't even consider.
That's right.
In a very short space of time.
Yeah, and a lot of the things that we can't consider on this planet is because we can't afford them. I mean, we have an international banking system that says, well, we can clean up the oil pollution and all that, but how much money is it going to cost us? Oh, we don't have that in our budget. So a lot of the things that we can even do with our present technology, we still can't do because we have money in the way. We have a budget that you got to pay attention to. In other words, we could send a lot more astronauts to different planets, but do we have enough money to build a spaceship and et cetera, et cetera? So one of the blessings of not having to deal with this issue of money anymore in everybody's lives, I mean, how many people do you speak with who the first thing they say, well, I would do that and market it that way, but I don't have enough money to do it.
Indeed.
And
now, I think one item of news which will really make a lot of people feel very happy is that between 2012 and 2026, the vow will be lifted between the living and the dead to allow communication.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sounds very good.
It is very good. Maybe even before I start to get into that, I'd like to say that partly in the book there is talks about the cure for cancers, and I'm talking about all types of cancers, and I want to make that clear so that people, if they want to, they have loved ones. Right now, the cancer rate in America was 20% in the 1950s. Then when it went up to 30% in the 1980s, and now it's up to 40%. So we have 4 out of 10 people in our country coming down with some form of cancer. And a lot of the fundraising that's going on, and there's a whole lot of it, for the, you know, the Food and Drug Administration, American Medical Association, it's a big farce. And Robert Barefoot, I think, gives the best argument. I know there's some people out there that think he's a wacko. He's actually a volunteer from the sixth dimension. So if you go on his website, robertbarefoot.com, and read a little bit about Dr. Otto Warburg's Nobel Prize he won in 1931 for finding the cause of cancer and how it's just a big cover-up. Getting back to what you were saying about lifting the veil between the living and the dead, that could be probably one of the biggest steps in the evolution of our planet, because how much pain and grief is caused by people not being able to know definitely that their loved ones are still alive, actually, on some different dimension, some different level. How better they would feel to know that and be able to still continue a dialogue with them. That would heal a lot of pain.
Yes. It's obviously going to make a bit of a hole in the beliefs of some religions, but clearly at some stage the truth has to come out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it has to become more balanced between male and female energy. We've seen this with the Catholic Church. You know, Jesus Christ did have a relationship with Mary Magdalene. That was the soul twin relationship, and she was supposed to be the rock of the church, as the Da Vinci Code movie has pointed out in relationship to different, things that have been written up over the years through the Nag Hammadi texts and the Gnostic Gospels. And so, that's going to be one of the main shakeups, I think, is the balance between male and female polarities. And even in the end of Lemuria, which what's left of Lemuria is the Hawaiian Islands, it was a matriarchal society the last 5,000 years of Lemuria. And that didn't work either. So we really need to have a balance between men and women and male and female. The Palladians do not, as I wrote in the book, they don't identify with sexuality anymore in that way. They've transcended the need to identify as a particular sexual. You know, they don't have the organs that we have.
No.
They kind of transcended, you know, in the sixth dimension. They're from the fourth and fifth levels of the sixth dimension. And there are other channelers that say they're from the fifth dimension, and it's okay because everyone's got different, you know, channelers and nervous systems that they're channeling information through. So that would be one of the things that we could look forward to, is a balance between the male and female polarities. Anything that's of a very male structure right now is being worked on. It's being dismantled. And that includes the federal government and all the international bankers. That's why we're going through this. We're starting to go through Pluto. In astrology, you would say Pluto entering Capricorn, which started entering about a year and a half ago. And when you think about what's happened over the last year and a half with the economy, you can see that they're starting to work on this grip, this male control kind of energy that's going on. And this is going to free up a lot of women, too, because women are starting to get more male. And especially in the United States, they're just so aggressive now, and there's such less emphasis on family life and stuff. So in this new model of family groups, you're going to have the males and the females helping bring up the children. It's not going to be a one-way street anymore. And that will cut out a lot of the ego battles that goes on, the resentments of, you know, women resenting men because they feel like they're not contributing enough in a certain way. And then also men feeling resentful to women for not appreciating, if they're making money. You know, some men don't make that much money, but in our capitalistic society, most women are looking for security. See, the whole framework of everything changes when money is taken out of the equation as placing a value on anything.
Yes.
It really does. There's a lot of people in relationships right now who will not even be in those relationships after the money is gone, because that's why they're really in them.
Right.
You know, and so the idea of the soul twin relationship coming back into play, bringing the soul twins back together and rediscovering that whole theology about relationships, I think is also going to play a big part in the changes coming up, which will be for the better. You know.
Now, Lou, we're almost at the end of our 55 minutes. That doesn't
seem possible. Yeah, I know. What about
So I'm going, it's been brilliant, lovely stuff. I wish we really were on for an hour and 55 minutes, but never mind. If they want to know the rest of it, where will they be able to get the information?
Well, they can go to www.yogavisionaries.com. That's yogavisionaries, that's all one word, .com. And they can order the book, ebook, PDF file over my store website. So they just click on store and go in and order it. It's not that expensive at all. And then if they want to call my regular phone number, can I get that over the air? Or is that?
Yes. Yeah.
It's 860-664-9247. That's 860-664-9247. And, you know, they can certainly order over the phone. I do take MasterCard or Visa, or they can, you know, send a money order if they want to order it through that way.
I think it might be wise to repeat your website, that website address you gave, in case someone didn't get an opportunity to put someone down.
It's yogavisionaries.com. So yogavisionaries.com. And then if people have a hard enough time, they could always put in Lou Valentino, and this should come up on the Google.
Yes, okay. That's brilliant. It's been extremely interesting, which is why the time's gone so quickly. Which really leaves me, Lou, about half a minute to tell my listeners that next week, which has been pre-recorded because I'm off for a week, is with Claudia McNeely, who is a master energy healer, clairvoyant psychic, medical intuitive, and author. And she's written a book called Thoughts on Spirituality, Healing, and the Law of Attraction. And she's a terrifically interesting person, so I hope you can to listen to that one.
Yeah.
And we've had a terrific time today, so thank you very much for coming onto the program, Lou. We must have you back again when you write the next book.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mike. And, you know, if you want to go into further evaluations of this one, you're certainly welcome to. I appreciate you having me on your show, and a lot of people out there I know appreciate it also.
Great. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, Mike. Take care.
All right, thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. Got to go. Time's up. Thank you for coming in on the show today. God bless you all. Thank you.